The temple was erected around 138 by a prominent citizen of Ephesus, wanting to honor this emperor. As I mentioned, it's a very small temple, but beautifully carved and beautifully preserved. The front porch, or pronaos, comprises Corinthian columns, very ornate, leafy capitals that supported an arcuated or arched lintel. And the lintel was decorated with a bust of Tyche, which is the personification. Tyche means the luck or good luck or personification of a city. In this case, it was a beautiful female head who wore a crown of city walls, crown resembling city walls, on her head. So the front porch of the temple is decorated with a symbol of the city of Ephesus. Now within the pronaos, the front porch, was a decorated sculpted frieze showing the mythical foundation of Ephesus by the colonists of Athens. Also depicted there were images of other gods important to the city. And over the door leading into the temple itself, where a statue of the emperor would have stood, was a fanciful image of a maiden from whose lower body emerges lush foliage. So the temple was designed to honor the emperor, and it's part of this imperial cult that I mentioned, where the emperor, although still living in Rome, was worshipped as a god. But if you look at the imagery that the temple bears, with constant references to the city of Ephesus, we have to acknowledge that the temple also celebrates the greatness of this city, that this city, whose origins date back to 1000 BC, was in itself an important element to be worshipped here too. At the foot of Curetes Street stands perhaps one of the most photographed monuments from Ephesus, the library built by a man named Celsus. His full name was Tiberius Julius Celsus Polemianus, and he was a citizen of Ephesus. His family, however, had been awarded Roman citizenship in the early 1st century AD. So the family of Celsus then is one of these examples I mentioned earlier, where important citizens from the provinces were incorporated into Roman society. In this case, sometime in probably 20s AD, his family was given rights to all that a Roman citizen would have, which meant special treatment under the law and so on. It also meant that members of his family could serve in certain offices in Rome. So although a Greek, Celsus, as he's usually called, became a Roman senator, actually the first Greek-Roman senator from the province of Asia. Then he became a governor of the province of Asia, serving in that exalted post from 105 to 107 AD. So again, this reflects how certain members of the elite really became Romans themselves. When he died in AD 110, he left instructions that his wealth should be put towards the construction of a library for the people of Ephesus. So again, he reflects this tendency in the 1st and 2nd century AD for leading citizens to show their greatness by giving lavishly to their city. His sons maintained his will as he had wanted and constructed the library that bears his name. When it was excavated by the Austrians half a century ago, it was lying in pieces on the Curetes Road. But in the past 20 years, the facade of this library has been reconstructed, and it's a tour de force of architecture. The marble that makes up the facade comes from various parts of the Roman world. During the 2nd century AD, it was commonplace for marble quarries to trade and send their stones all over Rome, all over the provinces. And so this meant that some of the columns were of purple-hued marble, yellow-hued marble, white, green-veined. So a beautiful colorscape of columns. It was on two levels, with each of these columns supporting small architectural zones. And the columns framed niches that held life-size female figures. Each of these figures was labeled and clearly personified a virtue of Celsus. One of them was Sophia, wisdom. Another was episteme, knowledge, ennoia, understanding, and arete, dignity. The building was designed to hold 12,000 scrolls, and so it was a worthy gift of this leader to his city to give them the gift of learning. At its basement, there was a sunken tomb where the benefactor Celsus was buried. Now, this was a huge honor. Normally, people were not buried within a city. But Celsus, being the man he was and giving the Ephesians such a great structure and holding such high office, was given the great honor of being buried within the city of Ephesus itself.